Hi, how's it going? It's Michael Redmond here. Now, you may well know me as a stand-up comedian, which I actually was for over 30 years. Or you might know me better as Father Stone from the Channel 4 sitcom, Father Ted. And if that happens to be the case and you're still wondering how I am after all these years, well, I'm still fine. So, what am I doing here? Well, I've kind of retired from stand-up, but I keep coming up with, you know, the odd idea for a joke or a comedy monologue or a comedy routine or that kind of thing because, to be honest with you, I quickly realised that taking up gardening in retirement wasn't going to satisfy me enough, you know, it wasn't going to do it for me. Jesus, gardening, you know. And anyway, I don't have a garden, which is probably why I was often found standing in other people's gardens over the years. So what's this all about? Well, this is my comedy podcast, which I've called What Are You Doing in My Garden? I suppose the best way to describe it is it's a short weekly podcast in which I'll be, you know, throwing in a joke or two or talking about a range of things from, say, drink driving in Ireland in the 1970s, my chance encounter with Joanna Lumley, pole vaulting geriatrics, and lots of other things. But no poetry. Absolutely no bloody poetry. So if you have anything to say or add to what I've been musing on the podcast, it'd be great to hear from you. Or in fact, also, if you have any questions about Father Ted, I'd be happy to answer them as well. The email address for the podcast is whatareyoudoinginmygarden@gmail.com. Hi, it's Michael Redmond here again with episode 3 of my podcast, which I've called Drink Driving in Ireland in the 1970s, because that's largely what it's all about. Now, here's something you might want to know about me. It was a couple of years ago, I decided to go off and live in Spain, not just for holiday, actually sort of pack my bags and go off and live in Spain, because I was fed up living in the wintry weather of Glasgow. So I just packed my bags and went off to Spain. Now, when I got there, I decided to hire a car to have a look around. And but I remember the agent in the Spanish car hire company said to me, he said, "Have you ever driven on the right-hand side of the road before?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, quite a few times, back in the day in Ireland, when I was a bit pissed." He looked a bit concerned about this, but gave me the keys anyway, and I had a nice drive around the island. Now, the reason I mention that is when I was growing up in Ireland in the 1970s, drink driving laws are very lax. In fact, they're almost non-existent. I remember there was actually a government drink drive campaign, an actual government drink drive campaign. And the way it worked was there was a poster with 5 pints of lager in a row, 5 pints of lager in a row, and there was a cross against the fifth pint, and the motto underneath was, "If you're driving tonight, stay away from the fifth pint." Things were a lot more easy then, and nobody gave a shite. And I also remember there was a sort of a community advice program on RTE television. It was usually on for a few minutes before the national 6 o'clock news. It was called Garda Patrol, Garda being the Gaelic for policeman. And I remember this particular episode, it was around the time of the government drink drive campaign, and it was being presented by this Garda sergeant. And he was giving advice to the public about drink driving. And these are actually words, word for word. I'm not embellishing it in any way. He said, if you're in a pub tonight and you can't remember how many pints you've had, just have a couple more and leave it at that. Nobody gave a shite. And if you're driving along and you accidentally, you know, mounted the pavement and clipped a pedestrian on the leg or whatever, just get out of the car and say, "You know, sorry about that, mate. I'm a bit pissed." And he'd say, "Oh, well, you know, fair enough. As long as it wasn't on purpose, you know." Now, I'm not proud to admit this. I used to drink and drive, smoke while I was driving, even had sex with my girlfriend once when I was driving. It's just as well there were no mobile phones around then. It would have been fucking mayhem. No, there were no mobile phones, iPhones, iPads, PS2, PS3, Xbox 360. There wasn't even any internet back then. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure soup of the day was around then. You know, back in the good old days before soups became competitive. When a good old vegetable broth didn't have to compete on the menu with a spicy Moroccan butternut squash or some shite like that. I even remember when pork used to be just pork before people started pulling it. And as far as I remember, there wasn't a choice of coffee then. There wasn't different types of coffee back then. There was only one type of coffee I can remember. It was called a cup of coffee, I think. And if you happen to be in a cafe in those days and asked for something like, you know, a panini with sun-dried tomatoes and mozzarella or whatever, they probably would have disappeared around the back and called the local psychiatric hospital to know if any patients had escaped. And here's another thing, there were no vegetarians around then either. Well, there were no vegetarians in Ireland anyway, because they'd all been sent off to London by their parents so they wouldn't bring shame on their family. Because there was more of a taboo then about being vegetarian than there was about being gay, which is carried on to this very day, because gay marriage is now legal in Ireland, but vegetarians are still not allowed to marry each other in Ireland. You have to get special dispensation from the local butcher. And vegans were few and far between then. If it was discovered then you were a vegan, you'd be tied to your bedpost and a priest would be called to perform an exorcism on you. And once it was all done, you'd be untied from the bed and given a sausage roll and sent on your way. And the priest didn't get paid for this at all either, by the way. He just got a blowjob from your neighbour, Mrs. Hannigan. Simpler times, you know. But you hear people of my age saying things like, you know, when we were younger, we made our own fun. We didn't have all these things you have now, like, you know, Xbox and PS3 and all these gaming things. We had to make our own fun. And it's true. We did have to make our own fun in those days. But it was usually shite, to be honest with you. You know, you might find a snail making its way up your garden path and you'd just turn it the other way around to see how long it took to realise it was going in the wrong direction. Or maybe it was raining outside and you were stuck indoors having a competition with your brothers to see who could run fastest against the sitting room wall without knocking themselves out. Lots of fun. Mind you, there was one good game. It was Kidnapping the Jehovah Witness. That was a good game. What you do is you wait for the Jehovah Witness to call at the door and you'd invite him in saying that your mother had fallen down the cellar and would he mind coming in to give a bit of a hand. And once he walked in the door and went down the cellar, you'd close the door behind him and lock him in. I mean, it was just a bit of a laugh. There was no, you know, wasn't any ransom involved or anything like that. You'd let him out after a couple of hours once he'd agreed to become a Catholic. Right, I was talking about vegetarianism and veganism there a few moments ago, and I can't really move on from that without telling you about my local butcher. His name is Eamon. Same as Eamon in my book, Eamon, Older Brother of Jesus, but more about that later. So anyway, how can I describe Eamon? Well, I suppose pathologically anti-vegetarian is about the best way to describe him. I can't think of any other words to describe him. Or maybe apart from what he says himself, I fucking hate all vegetarians and vegans. They can all fucking go to hell, the whole fucking lot of them. Now, the reason he hates vegans and vegetarians so much is that it's a generation thing. His great-grandfather had a family butcher shop, which was handed on to down to his grandfather, and then from his grandfather to his father, and then on to him. But it's been losing quite a lot of money over the last 10 years, and customers are drying up. And Eamon blames all this on the rising tide of vegetarianism. He's convinced there's a worldwide plot from vegans and vegetarians to take over the world. This was a bit like my conspiracy theory about bald people. But anyway, I needed a couple of pork chops this day, and so I had to go to Eamon to get them because there's no family butchers near me, so if I want meat, I have to go to the local supermarket and to Eamon. So I went up to his counter, said, how's it going, Eamon, and all that kind of thing, and can I have a couple of pork chops? I could see he was about to go into one of his rants. I could just feel it, and he started off. He says, do you know how many of them have been in here today already? 13 of them. 13 fucking vegans in here already. I've seen 13 of them in the shop today already. It's not even 1 o'clock yet, for Christ's sake. What's the world coming to, you know? I mean, for Christ's sake. 10 years ago, I'm telling you. 10 years ago, there was only 150,000 vegans in this country. Now, 10 years later, do you know how much there are? Do you know how many there are? Ask me. I'll tell you how many there are. There are 2.5 million of them. If they keep producing at that rate, Jesus, in 10 years' time, there'll be fucking swarms of them everywhere. Fortunately, another customer came along just there and interrupted his rant, so I was able to make a getaway. But it got me thinking on the way home if Eamon's theory about vegans is correct and my conspiracy theory about ballmen is correct, maybe in 10 years' time, the world will be run by bald vegans. Who knows what the future holds? Okay, I've also actually posted a video of the Garda Patrol video that I mentioned in the podcast. I posted it onto our Twitter account. So do go and have a look. But a lot of people have said, some people have said anyway, not a lot of people, that it may be a bit of a fake, that it wasn't actually a Garda sergeant saying those words, that it was actually part of some kind of a comedy sketch on RT television. And I haven't been able to find out either which one it is, but the point is, it doesn't really matter that much because I grew up in Ireland in the 1970s and the 1980s, and that's the way it was. There was hardly any drink drive laws. It was incredibly lax. I don't remember ever being stopped by a policeman in the 70s and 80s, and I was usually out in my car drinking and driving. It wasn't reckless, but you had to drink and drive then because there was only one taxi rank in Dublin then. There was only about 10 cars, I think. It was run by some sort of underworld family. It was all a bit dodgy, but there was only one taxi rank in the city centre of Dublin. So if you wanted to go to the pub and then to go to a club afterwards, the only way to get there was by drinking and driving. And you didn't have to be reckless, but I mean, I was never stopped in 15 to 20 years, ever. So go and have a look at the video anyway and see what you think. Let us know your comments. And even if it is just a comedy sketch, it's still bloody funny as far as I'm concerned. Well, if you have any comments or thoughts about the podcast, do get in touch. Or if you have any sort of personal memories of drink driving in the 1970s. And also, if you also may happen to know a mad butcher like I do, do get in touch. It's on our email is whatarejoudoinginmygarden@gmail.com. or you can get us on Twitter at WinDimg. Those are the sort of initials of what are you doing in my garden, WINDIMG, or on Instagram at MRWinDimg. Right, it's time once again for my Cointreau cocktail recipe of the week, which this week is called the Deschler. It's actually credited with being the, as far as I know, the first ever cocktail created in New York using Cointreau. And it was created by a couple of rich socialites. I think they were called Lester and Lula Wainwright. I think that's their names. And I was thinking that, instead of calling the cocktail the Deschler, it sounds a bit sort of, I don't know, a bit kind of Nazi-ish, isn't it? You know, like her Sturm von Führer Deschler. Maybe we should just call it the Lester Lula cocktail. Sounds a lot better to me, much more appealing. So we'll take yourself back to the halcyon decadent days of 1920 New York and fix yourself a Lester Lula. You'll need 40 milliliters of bourbon, 20 milliliters of red vermouth, 15 milliliters of Cointreau itself, a couple of dashes of Angostura bitters, and a little bit of orange peel to garnish it if you want to be a bit poncy. So there you go, enjoy. And finally, a bit of a little plug for my book, which I mentioned earlier. It's called Amon, Older Brother of Jesus. And it sort of tells the story in Amon's own words of what it was like growing up in a household with having your younger brother as the Messiah. And also sort of Amon tells us lots of his different attempts to upstage Jesus and achieve fame in his own right. And at one stage, actually, even attempting to become an alternative Messiah and using fishmongers as his apostles instead of fishermen. And the book is available on Amazon. We'll be putting up links on our social media accounts, so do go and have a look at that. And if you buy one, you'll be helping an aging comedian to buy his next lunch. And speaking of which, if there's anybody out there who fancies sponsoring or advertising on the podcast, that'd be great, because as you know, these things don't really pay for themselves. So let's hear from you. That'd be good. So there you go. I hope you like the podcast, and we'll be back next week with a totally new episode called Me, Bobby from Still Game, and A Night in Casablanca. So there you go. A bit of a teaser for you there. What's the connection? So that's it. I'm off now to get gently pissed on a couple of Lester Lulas. All the best.